we don't need to take the chair as well. No time in that to give other people an opportunity to share. So, for example, the broadband infrastructure, we had Chris Wong, the long political one, and sharing with me. I take government responsibility. So even if I can't be here because I've got other party political responsibilities on Fridays, Gulalani is the whip, and he will chair, and we will rotate the chair as things go. So it's not because I'm not available. It's simply because it's unnecessary. Let's do constituency work on Friday. Do something more productive than sit here if we can finish today, and I'm hoping we will. Point two is that I think Lolly will send you shortly the program for the visit to the magistrate's court. That's the look at the e-scheduling system and the use of technology and so on. That's right. Yeah. I saw the program. I really don't know enough to say whether it's a fine program, but it seems to be a reasonable program. So members can comment on the program. When are you sending out are we getting copies now? Okay, we look at the program before we pass at 1 o'clock today. Next is, or before that, next is, I must alert you to this. It's no use us having this annual report. Yeah, we're walking to the court, as Lolly says. I'm sure we all agree. The court is just down the road. We'll speak to Dr. Delcourt about the capacity issue. We can carry him in there. But I'm sure we'll get there. But on the most use of you speak to Dr. Delcourt about it after the meeting. So let's deal with this. You see, it's no use us calling the department and others before us, raising issues and leaving them hanging in the air. There are reports that are meant to come, and Christine's helping to do the first draft. I'll look at them and then bring them to you. We will, in the last section of the report, we will have recommendations, and that's the key thing. We'll give an overview of what these boards, legal aid boards, and next week the HRC and so on say. But ultimately, it's what we want them to do over the next year that is important. So on recommendations, that will be the key thing. So we will start hopefully from next week. Christine, do you think we'll have the legal aid board report? Next week we'll start looking at the legal aid board report. The key report, of course, will be our own department's report. In that regard, I've only this morning written to the DG. We had agreed that within 21 days, the department will facilitate a meeting between the Johannesburg attorneys and the Johannesburg High Court and Magistrates Court in respect of the loss of funds. And I've said to him, by the 14th of November, he must have written to us to say what progress there's been in that regard. He must, if necessary, I'm not saying this slide on from small just to support Parliament, he can ask his parliamentary liaison officer, if he doesn't think writing is enough, to appear before us for 5 or 10 minutes. So that will be one of the practical things emerging from our consideration of the report. But I also need to alert you that the media has been very interested about what we're going to do as a committee, about the fact that 70% of the cases that are enrolled are never finalized, they're thrown out, as it were. And the key points are that if you look at the number of issues that are raised with police, so the percentage comes even down. I think yesterday's business day, it told you that 13% finally end up with conviction. Now, of course, as Dr. Delcourt says, it's not our department alone. In fact, in substantial part, it is safety and security. So one of the recommendations to see is that very early in the new year, there should be a joint sitting of the Safety and Security Committee and our committee, together with the NPA, and whoever else meeting, NGOs and so on, just have a whole day sitting on this issue. Out of which, what we must come with is a concrete program where we say to the department, within 6 months, is it not reasonable to say that we bring it down from 70 to 68%, within another 6 months to 75%, and then the incoming committee in 2009 will take over and say, look, there's a program over the next 5 years. I do not know, personally, you know more, what is a reasonable target we should take. Bearing in mind that safety and security must be on board with us, we cannot come to a figure without them playing their full part. The two committees must jointly monitor this thing, and maybe once every quarter, call a meeting, if it's possible, within the legislative program to say, look, what progress has there been? Even half an hour, you know. So those are the things, members, you can mull over. But when a draft report comes, we will send it out to you before we formally adopt it so you can make proposals. What I'm really suggesting to you is that this is an approach that is in our program. That we're not going to take on too much. We're 15 months left. I think we should target certain key things. And I think the thing about the 70% is, I think, one of the key things we should target. About what can be done about Human Rights Commission and Gender Commission, should be more modest in what we can secure from them, or in any case, a Chapter 9 decision. But the 70% thing, this loss of files thing, they can become, you see, we can choose two or three things. And then before we end our term in April 2009 or whenever the election, we can say, look, these two or three things we have achieved. So that is the approach we're going to take. Anyone have to comment on what I've said?
What we need to look at there is simple systematic to leave it to us. And that's what we can do. We can talk out that is our portfolio and that is the institution. The doctor comes to the institution, is it ready? Is it ready? But in that type of program, that is needed. No, that is needed. I don't need to worry about it.
I do share your statement as well, and I think it would be very useful to meet with the police, because they've got certain targets, and one of them is the number of arrests. And then where a person is arrested, a docket's got to be open, doesn't matter what, and then that obviously puts pressure on the prosecutor that sits with 2 million, I think there's 2 million, and a lot of the arrests might not have been substantiated, which results in the cases being withdrawn. So I think the two targeting, we will look at the targets, and I don't have a, I think a 65% is reasonable, but we need to look at how does the police set their targets that impacts the product. So I'm fully supportive of Imam as well, that we need to jointly look at the reason why this is high, and normally it's because there's enough evidence. So the police have to show that they are being totally arrested. Then it comes to the prosecutor, says that there's not enough evidence, we have to withdraw. And we would have to engage that in the future. But there's a very interesting booklet that came out last year about guidelines to the various departments, and maybe we can get a copy of that. So when we meet with the different sectors, to what degree have the guidelines in that little booklet been implemented? And I know at one stage we were talking about binding protocols between the different departments. Because as we always have, we have these domino effects. If the police don't do their jobs with the investigation effect all along the way, and if one doesn't do their job, then the dominoes fall. And at some stage, we might need to look at how does one bind the department to comply. If a prisoner is late for court, for example, what is being done about it? Because that affects everyone. Those are the things. So but just on that, I think it's a good thing to focus on that.
Yeah, just to say very quickly, we will pursue this matter further. I'm just getting some consensus on the method of approach. And I think that, you see, with a cluster approach, the departments are meant to be working. So the president keeps driving this. And in fact, in the chief of office, they keep insisting that we work on a cluster. Now, in respect of this guideline that you speak of, what booklet is it? Well, you know about it. Where did it come from?
I don't remember the booklet. I think the department came out with it.
How long ago?
It was in the last year.
Does anybody remember this booklet?
It was a little booklet that came out.
Have you got a copy in your file?
I'll look for it.
Can you find
it? But it's a handbook.
That'll be useful. Yeah. Can we ask you to give a copy to Lolly, and then she will trace it by the button or make copies? Can we distribute that? Okay. I will speak to Maggie about a joint meeting. And finally, I think, as members of Parliament, we should be concerned about the fact that less than 13%, in effect, of the cases that are taken to the police ultimately end up in conviction. It doesn't matter which portfolio you're in. We work with the relevant portfolios. It is a concern. We are public representatives. Crime is a big issue. and it's an issue that all of us, whichever party we come from, just to explain to you, you know, just give an example. I was in Washington that weekend, and the first thing I heard was a French member of parliament coming to me and saying, "Do you know Lucky Dube?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, he's a famous singer." He said, "Well," he was watching CNN, and it said, it was quite a big story. I opened the Washington Post, very big story. It ran for 3 days in the Washington Post, Washington Times, USA Today, and so on. And then editorial. And so this is a big issue, and we are one component of dealing with a problem. So I think the first step we should take is to secure a meeting early in the new year, and then see what we can do about it. In fact, the DG himself said, it's unacceptable, if you recall. And that's what the papers have picked up on. So we'll deal with those issues as we get them. I must, before we move to the bubble, mention that Nolotando, this is our last day with us, is that right? And she's got a new position as an admin assistant attached to the unit management office with effect from tomorrow. So we wish her well and thank her for all the work she's done. And we hope things go well for her. Okay, let's then move to, yes, people move on and we're happy that they're getting promoted. How long have you been here, Nolotando? For this commitment. So, yeah. Okay, well, wish you well. Okay, let's move on then quickly to where we were, and Bulalani was waxing lyrical right on about this issue, which I think is quite a complex issue, and we need to find some resolution by next week. Look, process-wise, I think that there are one or two outstanding issues that we can resolve outside a committee meeting. Each party can take its position on. But I think we can vote on this poll next week if all goes well. There is a matter that I think we must agree on, which is to refer the amendments to the judges just to look at. So that's the procedural thing. But if all goes well, we can vote on this bill, I think, next Wednesday. We can just take 15 or 20 minutes off the consideration by the of the report of the Gender Commission and adopt the report and vote on the bill. So that's if all goes well. Okay, let's go to 12B, 4B. Now, here the issue is, well, I'm not the right to say, the issue is simply to put it in a nutshell. Do we think an existing judge should be allowed to be a director? That's the issue, isn't it? So, and you're saying no, and I think JJ is saying, well, let's think about it, and I'm not sure what other views are. I actually don't have a personal view, I don't know. So can we quickly see what consensus we arrive at, and then flag it for final decision-making in our respective parties. Okay, let's have a quick discussion about it. What do people feel on that issue? Well, let me explain the 2 points. I won't cover that. We covered it yesterday. Any other comments on this? Should an existing judicial officer be allowed to be the director and then go back? Yes, ma'am?
There's a technical problem, and that is the system we have with judges is that they keep their salaries for life. So if he becomes the director, will he then retain his salary as a judge and then be paid the salary of the director on top of that, which may be unfair?
Not maybe, it will be.
Yeah.
John, what would you say?
Okay. I'd like to start with what Mr. Marion just raised. If a judge directing the judge from active service is appointed as a director, all things held of this provision, he won't get the director salary, he will get a double salary. In other words, he will get his or her and her monthly salary as a judge times two. That is the way the Judges Remuneration Act and the condition of employment work. That is the position for any judge. That would be the case even if we didn't have a 4B in here. 4B is actually superfluous. It would already be the case. The same happens when a judge discharged from active service is appointed to head a commission of inquiry or to be serving any other full-time capacity, he or she just gets a double salary. I've discussed this recently with my principals again, Chair. I was referred to the fact that the examples that were used in drafting this legislation and that were looked up, particularly the Canadian one, it would appear that the CEO is normally a judge of these kind of institutions. But then, of course, you cannot really compare the dispensation of those judges with the South African dispensation. I think we are quite unique in that respect. Just lastly, to point out that as the clause is drafted at this point in time. It must be very clear that it cannot be an acting judge and judge in active service, in other words, and it cannot be a magistrate who is holding office as a magistrate. So those two people, categories, want to be appointed as director, they would have to resign. But 4B, as it is at the moment, does allow for a judge who has been discharged from active service to be that director.
Twelve 4B, as it currently exists, allows for a judicial officer to be a director.
Not a serving judicial officer, Chair. That's why 12B says if a director is a judge who has been discharged from active service, then
what the judges intended when they negotiated this clause with you. They had meant that a serving judge, judicial officer, couldn't be the director. Is that correct? That's their view, or is it the department's view?
It's actually beyond that, Chair. They wanted it open both ways. That's why the introduced version says, in the 4B there, says, if the director is a judicial officer, just the judicial officer, the remuneration must be on such conditions as are determined in terms of legislation dealing with the remuneration of judicial officers. So, as introduced, it left open the option that it could either be a magistrate whether serving or retired, a judge whether serving or retired, just any judicial officer.
The department
view, we've narrowed it down. Really, it is
only a retired.
We've narrowed it down to a retired judge. It is to some extent consistent, Chair, but then
you can't have a practicing judicial officer serve as a director, is that right? And you're saying you can't. So you agree?
I agree, you cannot.
So you only agree, except that you're saying if you're a judge who's discharged from active service, you can be a director.
Well, that is a policy decision, but
yeah, that's what you're saying.
Theoretically, it's possible.
Yeah, what do you think? Is that correct? You agree with me?
You think something with retired?
Yes. You see, there's a point raised by Dr. Talbot yesterday, although he raised it in a particular way, but I think it's a valid point. You see, for a position of a CEO, you want a person with administrative and managerial skills. Why would you go for some board who's over 65? I'm not just true. The second point is that a person who has been discharged from active service is still a judge. He's not like Advocate Heath, who has resigned. He's still a judge. That is why the issue raised by that person will now get double salary because he still earns as a judge. But the issue is not so much about the salary that he earns, which is double, that is which is unfair. The issue is about protecting that institution, because you see, this person will be an employee. As a CEO will be an employee of this institution. Surely you don't want a judge to You don't want a judge, be it a serving judge or a discharged judge, to be found to not have spent money accordingly.
Okay, Dr. Delport, are you finished? And then Imam,
My views on the age has been put forward and endorsed.
Even the youth is supporting it. The outcome is not supporting it.
So, can I just ask you, the international experience where you have these institutes, do they allow for existing judicial officers to take the post? In Canada they do.
Yes,
and elsewhere.
I'll have to go and research what the
right. Look, you know, we must get, you know, because of the sensitivities, I think we must get the judges to agree to that this is the view. I actually don't have a view personally on this issue. I don't have to have a view. All of you seem to be arriving at consensus. Now, even the opposition saying, fine, let's remove the possibility of an existing judge but also a retired judge. for the reason set up by you yourself. Go ahead, Bolivar.
My problem is that we can't arrive at a particular decision for another piece and arrive at a decision that is totally opposed in another piece.
Yeah.
So because if you're passing it, you trust with this commission piece, which generally endorses what you are saying.
Okay. So, isn't that true, Yohani? Keep raising that. I haven't asked you. Is that not correct? That what we are doing here, as we even have it here, being consistent. Your department's version of what's in the JSC amendment.
Yeah,
that's correct.
From your point, I think Mr. Mahanich is referring to the prohibition on extrajudicial work to be performed by a judge. But I think we must bear in mind that even at this point in time, the Judges Remuneration Condition of Employment Act does allow for the situation where a discharged judge can be appointed to head a commission of inquiry, etc. And in fact, they are entitled into that double salary. So, I don't think there's really a consistency.
A commission of inquiry, I think, is a judicial function. But now we are talking
about
it's more administrative function. So I think a commission of inquiry is more consistent with the function of being a judge. But this one is just a managerial issue.
Give my view on a serving judge. If we think for one moment that we want to allow that, then we must specifically say that a serving judge may be seconded for a specific period to occupy that position, so as to remove the whole issue of double payment. So instead of sitting on the bench, he's then for 5 years going to be in, or 3 years, whatever. But even that is not a good alternative. I honestly don't think, and apart from the retired judges, the age issue, I think it's just inconsistent with the status of a judge or a retired judge to be an official that serves under a commission, or rather, what is it, a council, and who's an administrator, because that's what he's going to be. He's not going to stand before a class of judges and lectures and things. He's the administrator, and I think one could appoint there are far better options outside of the judiciary for that type of function.
We don't take a final decision, but we agree the relative consensus, or the substantial consensus, is. So let's call it the Bulalani approach, okay? The Bulalani Delport approach, okay? Now, in our report to Parliament, I think we should spell out the wealth of the argument that's come out. You know, we should have a paragraph about why we did this. And then Jan will speak to the judges and try to explain to them. Finally, you know, if necessary, I will have to speak to them because it's a committee function. This is what Parliament feels. The executive might not agree with us, but I will do it. But I think because you, Jan, you've been negotiating with them, with your colleagues. Try to convince them. If not, then I will have to do it, right?
You will. Okay.
Okay. So, we're not just flagging it on this tomorrow, right? We both are looking at this. The only issue is, which is 13.1, we accepted already, is that right?
13.2, we accepted already. After consultation, JJ made this point. 13.3 we accepted, 13.4 A and B we accepted, unless it's something new. Now 13.5, I can't remember according to my notes whether we accepted, but I will ask again because I just want to know, just remind me, what is the meaning of this? 13.5 says the institute must utilize its funds to defray expenses incurred by it in the performance of its functions. Now, my point is that's so mundane and banal. It's actually saying the institute must use its money to pay for its work. Now, you replied that everybody was convinced, I think. What was the reply you gave?
In fact, yeah, I think from my lighter version, I've actually deleted that because I think the consensus was that it doesn't really matter.
All right, we're going to use that. Did you see that
Meruti is here. She and I would have vigorously opposed. So, you know, the minority front here is nonsensical stuff. All right. 6, the institute must utilize the donations and contributions to to advance the objects. Yeah, here you gave an explanation. I also raised the thing about being mundane, but the committee felt we should leave it. Is that right, John? Good.
I think in 4.8 we have the basic contribution for this. But the other part is that we have a concept that we have in 6 for Dr. Kempis. We're talking about the same thing here, but the gift.
You're right. Good point.
Yes, if we accept that the gift can always be used.
Yeah.
Might be a picture.
Absolutely. Good.
Alright,
so we can
amend
them, right? Good. We call it the
Imam
Solomon's
Quorum.
Okay. Then the
7, the financial year. Yeah, 7,
can I raise
a practical issue, York? It occurred to me the 2 nights ago when I read this thing. It didn't occur to me the first time around. Firstly, next to the following in the last line is obviously a typographical lock-up, right? You see, the last line says, ends the 31st March of the next following year. What does that make sense? It should be the next year or the following year. Okay, so what should we use next year or following year? Following year, probably,
right? I think it's only the word following year.
Yeah, following year. In the original version of the book, what's it
called? Following year.
Following year. So let's stop next time. So that's easy to deal with, right? But now, can I ask you a question? There is a problem, isn't there? Say you launch this institute on the 1st of January. Then surely the financial year will not be the following March. It will be the same year March. The next March. Why don't you just say the next March? Do you understand what I mean, Yuan? Say you launch this institute the 15th of January. Your financial year is still going to end at the end of March that year, not the following year. Am I making sense to you? Do you understand what I'm saying in the first instance, and then we look at whether... Okay, sorry.
You see, it should be the financial year of the institute that year is from the 1st of April to 31st of March, right, in the following year. Except that that the first financial year of the institute begins on the date on which the Act comes into operation. Right? The Act comes into operation on the 15th of January. And it will end, and ends on the 31st, I don't know how, it ends on the, ends on the, the following 31st of March, whatever the 31st of March is. So instead of saying, well, we could launch the thing on the 1st of February. Yeah. So the end of the financial year is that 31st of March, not the following year.
That's too short for 3 months.
But that's how the financial year works for CFN.
I think that is why they say it will be the next year, because the 3 months will be too short. For the year, for the financial year, to do reporting.
Whether
it's 6 weeks or 12 weeks, the PSMA is very clear that the end of the financial year is the 31st of March. That's all I'm raising. I can check this out with Mary, plus my Mary for you, and come back. Shall I do that? And then we can find the wording. Okay, I'll speak to Mary. I'll speak to the minister, the house, if he's there. If I can't find Lele, the chairperson of Chandra. Okay, just leave that to me. So it's a minor thing, Johan and I will sort it out, okay? 8, the institute, that's straightforward, Johan. We accepted 8, A and B. Christine, is that right? Straightforward, eh? We and then 9, 2 we accepted, 10 we accepted, is that correct? Okay, so... Okay. Oh, okay, yeah, no, I've got my notes here. Okay, sorry, thank you, Lawrence. So, can we just say that we finished effectively with 13, and now we're going on to 14. Now, here, Johan, I raised this question, we didn't resolve it, and to the best of my knowledge, if you read that sentence, Johan, it's not clear who is going to consult the Minister of Finance. And can the state law advisor, Herman, can you help us there? You see, if you read that sentence, let me read it slowly, right? It says the council may, with the concurrence of the minister. Okay, we put a comma there, right? Okay, let's see if that helps it. And after consultation with the Minister of Finance, determine the remuneration, blah, blah, blah. Now the question that arises, Johan, is even the comma complicates things, if anything, please. Because now, it's not clear whether it's the council that consults the Minister of Finance, or whether, as you mean, it's the Minister of Justice that consults the Minister of Finance. Why can't you simply write it simply?
I get you, but who would you like to consult with the Minister of Finance?
The Minister of Justice, that's what you mean, don't you know? So if you say something like the council, with the concurrence of the minister,
just remove the end after minister, then that minister will do the consultation. The first after the first one.
If you remove after consultation, then it may be in consultation, that's what you mean.
Because the end.
The council made with the consultation of the minister after consultation with the minister.
After, not in consultation with the Minister of Finance. And let's make that clear. Okay, so you and I will do this with Herman after this meeting. Annual report, 15.1 and 2 we've adopted, 15.3 we've adopted. There's nothing in 15 that you, any members, got any news to say? No. Sorry?
I see something here. That the annual report will come 6 months after the end of the financial year.
Yeah.
Which means, for example, this act comes into operation even a week before, in the March. Right, they have 6 months, right, in order to submit a financial report. See, it can happen like that.
Yeah. Because you see, part
of the PFMA, they must submit their report to the minister chambers in parliament by the end of September. Yeah. So I think you're coming. Yeah. Okay. It's a good point. Yeah.
Not that complicated.
No, you're right. Actually, I think the Imam Chambers would be right. Now, on guidelines, we accepted that, okay? There's nothing new there. Now, 17.1, we didn't accept. Why didn't we accept 17? What was the problem?
I only said it wasn't accepted.
Just accepted, okay, so my notes are wrong.
17.2, there was an amendment.
Oh, wait, look, I've got a problem with 17.1 in. That's my problem, not the committee's. There's no in.
That's the
reason I
didn't change it in because we're going to read it.
Okay, so right, okay. Then 17.2. Yeah, somebody mentioned reasonable expenses, and then you changed in the course of that your proposal. Why you did that work?
Just to narrow it even more, like to make sure the expenses
are directly related to the
service.
Oh,
it's
specific. Okay, right, good. That's useful. Okay, I think we agree with that. Has anybody got any issues? No. Okay, a seal of the institute we agreed on.
We've got a similar provision for Superior Court and the existing Supreme Court Act, so there is nothing new but it is correct. And this is what we'd like us to just do a cross check to be fine.
I think it's important to get it in line with the Heraldry Act. Can may we have a look at the Act and see whether we can.
As part of Article 19, there's nothing in 20 about it, is that correct? Okay, can we come back there to the PL? Oh, you don't copy the one you did get earlier. Can we just see it there?
Okay. Right. So remember you've got the preamble, right? And we agreed yesterday we'll change where assistance. And this will now become the norm in this committee and hopefully doesn't matter who chairs or something, the committee should adopt the thing. Otherwise you're going to find, you know, somebody else comes to chair and then members change and they'll go back to where they're. Let's just stick with SIDS, right? Okay. On the preamble, we're suggesting that, for the many reasons we said not yesterday, we're eating a preamble, but we truncated with what we've done. And we're simply saying that the first preamble, it says, paragraph 1 simply says, as you see there, that there's a need for education and training for those categories of people. And it's partly in paragraph 2 for enhanced service delivery and rapid transformation. And see, the law too changes. This is a wonderful paragraph. I just thought the paragraph 3 is very nicely drafted and it's very dense. You know, it says a lot and it's wonderfully evocative. Its law has become much more complex and varied. It develops rapidly. Influenced by globalization of legal systems, trade, technology. Who crafted this particular paragraph? Wonderfully done. Okay, and then the next one is we're trying to ensure independence on the one hand and accountability on the other, which is a theme of much of the work we're doing over the next 15 months and more. And section 180A, maybe that should go up, eh? Because it's actually what the Constitution says may be done, and then we take down, and since it's desirable, that the... Or we can leave it as it is, I don't really care, but what do people feel about this? We spent sleepless nights working on this, Johan. So don't give us a hard time. Fortunately, JC is not here. Ah, JC is not here because he can't be, needless to say. He said he's got a lot of things related to his job as a parliamentary councillor. And I shouldn't forget to say that Carol Johnson, last night I got a very late letter, which I think we should read, you know, with the COPA. The letter is dated Friday. I came into Parliament yesterday morning. I looked at my mail at 7 o'clock last night. And there's a meeting this very morning, which I really think we should all be at. So I'm going to write to Chair Margoli, if you sanction me to do so, to say, look, the next time SCOPA considers the report of our department, we should be there. You can't let us know on a Friday. Our program is one quarter ahead. Do I have your faithful to do this? It's a very, but SCOPA has got skills we don't have, you know, in evaluating financial aspects of the budgetary aspects and so on. So can I write to Mr. Godi and say, well, I've tried to phone him. Leave a message, say Carol will be there. Carol can report back to us next week for 10 minutes, say what came out of the meeting. But I really think we should not meet when they are meeting with our department. Shall we agree on that? I shall write to them, right? Okay, on the preamble, what do you say, mate, Frank? Yeah, Lynn?
I agree with you. I think we should start with the reference to the Constitution and then the rest will follow.
Interesting, that's what
you
are
saying. I want to read that. Let me explain to you. I was reading in the sequence, that should be the last thing. Why? I'm not going to die in the ditch about it, then. Just hear me out. You see, it says that national legislation may provide, not must. Right? In other words, Section 180 says you may have national legislation on the matter. So we, having observed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and in view of the fact that 180 may provide, therefore, in it, rather than starting, because if it said must, then it should be the first paragraph. But since it's saying may, we've had this choice. For how many years now? 10 years, we haven't exercised it. And bearing in mind the 5 preceding paragraphs, we're now saying we may do it. That's how I feel. But if you feel strongly, we can debate it. What do others feel? What do you feel, Yon? Nobody wants to speak.
Say, well, nothing turns into legally.
Yeah,
it's really a mess of
these are the things we observe. This happened universally. This is what we need. And given that we have this one in, therefore we enact this term. Okay. All right. If that's the case, then the two outstanding matters are the hierarchical ones. Emma?
Yes.
Where
are they? The one thing in clause 8, 2, was the currently the majority of the members of the council constitute a quorum. The question is whether the constitution is correct. I have spoken with my managed advisor to present. She would prefer that the centre should rather read a majority of the members of the council constitute a quorum. And I wonder if you may allow me, I just wondered, and I give it to the commission for consideration, if you can't add an office quorum at any meeting of the council, it doesn't hang on the air of this quorum where. So a majority of the members of the council constitute a quorum at any meeting of the council.
But the subheading
says meetings of the council. If it says meetings of the council, then obviously it's a quorum related to that. And we have used the sentence just like this in other legislation. So there I agree to disagree. On the issue of a majority, it sounds nicer. I like it, but I'm not going to die in the teach about it. Anybody feel otherwise? It's not strong. So let's make it a majority.
I agree. You know, we have in the English language, and I'm not an expert, but this strange phenomenon that you refer to, Western province play.
Yeah.
Western province are ahead.
Western province is ahead.
No, you can read the newspaper.
Yeah,
they refer to a team as
yeah,
poor.
Exactly.
And I don't understand it, and that's not what I learned.
No, actually, you know, let's not die in the ditch. That's exactly what my teacher taught me, that the focus is not on the members. Like, and my cousin would tell old Indian Affairs Education Department, you know who, by the way, who symbolizes most? You remember Raju?
I
could switch.
Oh, I would like to say, I used to find him insufferably pedantic, right? He used to share the IFC guy, and then Captain. You know, if you went to the old Indian Affairs Education, that's typically school system. The name was Damashi, and you can memorize it. And this one, if you say the emphasis of the memory, the emphasis on the majority. I was kid in a hygiene school, you know, Madresa. I think my first in Madresa, but let's talk about it outside the place.
So, the majority of the people, you go on.
Majority is. Yeah. The majority of the people.
Yeah, okay.
The emphasis on the people
is on
the majority.
Not the majority.
That's all it is. But anyway,
can
we just accept the majority
constitution? Yeah. Yeah, sure, Jamie. Yeah, but you know, we must say, because in a sense, if you move around here, I think they are influenced by the minutes of Africa. Yeah, yeah. They never get the figure of zero, but
yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. Like in Africa,
But there are one or two things we have to deal with dealing with our program. One is that the Judicial Services Commission Amendment of Fatima, in terms of the transition, so to speak, swapping of chairs, it was agreed that she would finish that bill with you. And she said to me, there's only one more sitting. And I'm suggesting next Friday, we finish the Judicial Services Commission Amendment bill. Partly because I have to take family leave, I have childcare responsibilities and so on, I will not be here. But it was interestingly set for that Friday. Now, Johan, are you processing that bill?
Yes, Chair.
Where are we looking at it?
Chair, we've got a draft
yeah,
that is really in the hands of the portfolio of the former chief person at this stage.
Right, so
but I think it's on track for meeting
there. Okay, so then we ask Fatima, I'll speak to you in the house.
next Friday. Okay, then you finish this bill in one morning sitting. You'll finish, won't you, John? She told me she didn't one more sitting.
I'm saying nothing, she has been dealing with that bill since 2001.
My understanding is we must finish that bill. That's point one. Point two is, I gather that there are changes. Is that correct, John, to the sexual offences bill and the interception of monitoring bill?
I do believe there were few minor amendments suggested in the NCSB. So it's not very similar to part legislation, but it might be good.
So that won't take us more than a city?
No, I doubt.
Now, they're voting on it next Wednesday. Tuesday,
so I thought she said the amazing. The indication has been, they've made this tell and the indication is that they will be voting next.
Will they vote in the House as well?
I'm not too sure.
What is the procedure? If they haven't voted in the House, we can't consider it. That's correct.
That's
what we do the next Friday. Okay, we'll find a slot the week after. And again, may I suggest, right, that Fatima just finishes that too. Finish faster. I raised that with the chief, I'll raise it again with him today. But my understanding was that she would finish those things in fairness. Like, I have to finish abroad that infracol bill. They botched it up, as I explained. So I will go there and finish it. Because it's not fair, Fatima. I mean, she's not familiar with the bill. And at the last minute, you know, it's not really fair. So, the deal is that we'll finish those things. And then we'll go to the next point. There are bills that are, as I call it, percolating. I can't find another word. Somewhere between the executive and the legislature. One bill is from 2001. Right? And then there's the Child Justice Bill of 2003. Now, I am being harassed and harried by the speaker's, office via Jeff Deutsch, who's responsible for committee chair. It's the Judicial Officers Amendment Bill of 2001. The Child Justice Bill of 2002 and the Superior Court Bill of 2003. Now, we must take a decision on this next week. But tentatively, what I'm hearing in this committee, not for decision making today, but for next week, is that we apply the rule of Parliament, whether it's the President who brings legislation or the most junior minister, there's such a thing in this Parliament, the same rules have to apply to everybody. I've never heard of such a thing here. And in provincial and local government, we have bills upon bills upon bills. Justice is not so, I just don't understand this case for uniqueness and so on. Then you must be made to call something else. Take it out of a portfolio committee and call us up. The rules not apply. So my sense is, members, let's decide this next week. Tentatively, does anybody have a problem with us writing to the minister and saying, change in terms of rules 213, withdraw these bills? Not judging the thing. We're not rejecting them, and we say introduce them as soon as reasonably possible in the new year. Mm-hmm. Now, my understanding about the Child Justice Bill, I spoke to JJ this morning, it is that it's very close to getting to cabinet, John. That's right. But this is a prime rule to one. You know, withdraw it and then bring it in here. So you're not under pressure, but at least you'll bring it. I must tell you the Child Justice Bill, members, I'm getting all these lobbying groups coming here. And the story they're telling, I have to listen to them. I think it's you. I'm a former, I'm an activist too. I would say the same thing. I don't buy everything they say, but if half of what they say is correct, this bill, the Child Justice Bill, can we recommend it's a very important bill? And we would write to the minister to say we want peace for it to be introduced as soon as possible in the new year.
Chair, I hear what you said, but my only concern is that it might then go back onto the back burner. Now, I spoke at the UN Convention in Vienna in 2001 on the Child Justice Bill, and I was very proud of it.
Yes.
We went to New York together.
Yes.
We were also very proud of it.
Yes.
It introduces the whole concept of restorative justice that the government has been promoting and that we all support. My concern is civil society, you've experienced some of the pressure. We all are being contacted by it, and we've all given undertaken to try to expedite the bill. So you can go back on our budget speeches, you'll see we raise it at every budget speech. This year we raised it again, and the deputy minister indicated that it was ready, there was just an issue of costing, and it was ready to come forward. What will the impression be to our constituents and to civil society? We now say, withdraw the bill. Won't they then say, what are you doing? You're supposed to be promoting this legislation that's been so long outstanding. If we were to emphasize the importance of it, and the need to that it should be tabled urgently again, we might be able to support it. But failing that, that's a concern because it is in our domain now.
I'm going to see the minister this evening. I'm having a meeting with her. And Bull and Ali will be there with, and we will discuss the matter with her. But the committee will take a decision next week. Let me report back next week. All I'm simply alerting you to is that now, in the presence of the South African Human Rights Commission, Gender Commission, I don't want to end this debate, so I'm just alerting you to issues now, and I'll confer with you over the phone. Let's arrive at some consensus across the parties and how we manage it. There's a way of dignifying this. But what we are saying in the same breath is let's not have what Steve says happened. So we made this thing in terms of the rules with the aim of ensuring that the child justice bill gets to us when we hear in January. Late January we have public hearings on it. So we even go to the minister with a proposal, I'll fix it here first before we hear, of a date for public hearings on it. I'm told, right, is that correct? It's going to cabinet next week.
I believe that's it.
So that's good. And I was told this morning by JJ that he thinks they'll get the bill to us before we arrive, which is great. That is your and our concern, is that. Anything else on that? We will discuss it formally and take a decision next week. Okay, that's all. Logging something else. Oh, there's one final thing. Sorry.
I'm under the impression that the judicial officer's bill was broken down into two bills, and one of them is one, I think, was passed.
I don't know the rules, so I just think Kamal Mansura. He says he understands that, but this is, technically speaking, this bill is still here. So for that reason, the minister simply needs to write to say that that bill is outdated. It falls away because we just passed it. They know that, but there's a rule that requires a process. And they're saying, as the Speaker's office, they can't do it. This committee has to approach the minister, and we will take a decision formally. Let me informally approach the minister today, and next week report back, and we'll take a final decision next week. You want?
Yeah, I just say that the Judicial Office, the Judicial Service Commission Amendment Book that's before the committee at the moment, is actually the third redraft of that Judicial Office.
Yeah.
One paper is brought in the whole Judicial Office Committee.
That's it. Well, the final thing very quickly, you've got the draft program on e-scheduling and so on. This was suggested by the previous chair. She looked at our program and said, look, do you have any comments? And she said, look, why don't you go and see this? Because it's working very well and it's a positive thing, don't you? And she's right, don't just go to negative things. So you know more about this than I do. Does that seem to be a reasonable program? We go there in the morning. And the Cape Town Magistrate Court, which is a few minutes from here, we'll walk there. And then we're seeing these three things at 10 o'clock live presentation. What do members feel? Yeah, for the lunch?
I'm worried about it, it's 20 past 8. Because our bus arrives here at half past 8.
I mean, it's 11:45. Long is back in Parliament. That's a good point. Long will you contact the other side of the bus is coming in now? Good point.
Anything else? Everybody's agreeing with the program. Fine, we still have a meeting in the program, and thank you very much, and we shall see you next Tuesday. We've got the, Christine will send out overview of the Gender Commission and Human Rights Commission report. I can also alert you to this, the Criminal Justice Initiative have written to us, there's a letter gone out to members, eh? Criminal Justice Initiative. Okay, we'll send you out the notice. Basically what's going to happen is, they are monitoring the budget of the department, they want to work with the committee, and we said, great. Come in, make a presentation and the committee approve. Thank you. Thank you.
I think you should have another
okay, there's one policy issue, ma'am. Sorry, I completely forgot. It is unconnected. You see, what we've lost, by the way, is the quarterly report. You see, you've removed that, and I remember we said that the quarterly report to the GG should take place. Only it must be under the director. You remember that, John? You see, can I just say, that's very important. Sorry about this. I'm really sorry about this, but can we look at the original text? In the original text, it says, that there will be a quarterly report, a quarterly report. And then we said, no, we don't want to prescribe on the roles of people and so on. And you remember we said, it'll look wrong if the chief operational officer is directly giving to the DG a quarterly report. No, the director should give a quarterly report. Do you remember that, John? Yeah. Now we've lost that in the amended book. And I just remembered something you said, something interesting about it. So I think that shouldn't be dropped. There must be a quarterly report to the DG. It must go from the director. So we put it under the functions of the director. The director can ask the CEO, whoever he's got there, or she's got there, to do it. But shouldn't you go under the roles and responsibilities of the director? Yeah, if you look at 12, right? Look at 12:3. The director is responsible for the general and must manage and direct the point. Somewhere there we need to slot in, provide quarterly reports or something to the DG.
Maybe a C under
the yeah. I think we all will agree with that. It was actually there, it was an omission when we. So we put quarterly reports there. Okay, then you had something, Christine, to say?
At 13:7A.
So
it's
just
a prayer line, whether it's on a call account or in a call account.
The wording. Now, we said it's in the inner call account. If you look at 8A on page 7, 8 sub A of 13. See, those small things we can pick up very easily and we can acknowledge. Okay, thank you all.
Yeah, we have to go. No, okay, just to explain. What we're going to do is a draft program for the first quarter will emerge by, let's say, the week before the week we rise, which is the week beginning the 14th of November. So we will, and we will visit the provinces. And in fact, I'm just waiting for something from the department to be finalized, including this meeting with the minister this evening, and then see what legislation comes. So we'll check the whole program for the first quarter before we leave. We'll have to do that anyway. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.